Now we come to the next stage of this story. He is now not only a competent, but a superb knight, a youth of great battle prowess, of wonderful nobility, who has been trained by a first-rate trainer in the art and courtesies of knighthood. He rides forth, letting his horse take him where he will, with his reins loose. The horse takes him down a great slope following a stream to the water's edge, the ocean edge, where there is a rickety bridge, a wicker bridge, and across from it is a castle. Well, shortly, to make this short, the castle is under siege, and it's the castle of a young queen, Condwyramwy's. He enters, he's given entry, he's clothed in the kind of greeting clothes that they give them in castles, a wonderful mantle, he's relieved of his armor and all this sort of thing. And he was told by Gwynamont, don't speak unless spoken to. So he sits there like a lout until when Gwynamont thinks, well, I guess as hostess I would be all right for me to talk. So she asks him a couple of questions and he replies. Then when he goes to bed, he is asleep. He wakes up and there is Condwyramwy kneeling at his bedside. And he says, what's this? One kneels only to God. And she says, well, if you will promise not to wrestle with me, I'll get into bed with you. And he says, all right. And she gets into bed. And she tells him her story, that she is under siege here, that there's a king, Clamide, who is terrifically powerful, has taken all her lands up to the castle. He wants to marry her. This is the medieval marriage thing. And she said, I will not marry him, no matter what. And if he takes this castle, I will jump from the battlements and kill myself. Here is the point that she has resisted this medieval marriage system and asks for marriage only for love. Marriage for love, not marriage and then the adulterous love. This is the beginning of the solution. Parzival says, well, I'll go to battle for you. And he rides out next morning in his red armor and, of course, gains the field against the seneschal of this knight. And then later, again, against the knight himself. Now, Gwynamont told him, when an enemy has been knocked down and pleads mercy, don't kill him. Take his vow of service. So when these great knights were knocked down and pled for protection, he gave them protection and sent them to Arthur's court to be in the service of the woman who'd been beaten on the back. So now Arthur's court is having coming into it all these great knights of the world who had the world fame beaten up by this red knight who was the laughingstock of their community when he was there and who's riding around. So this news keeps coming in. This chap's around. Arthur's beginning to think, say, this is somebody for the round table, you know? So the point is now that having won the battle for the girl, she accepts him as her husband lover. And he becomes her husband without marriage, without an ecclesiastical marriage. They are husband and wife without an ecclesiastical celebration of the marriage. Love itself is the sacrament. There's no adultery here. There's no triangle anywhere. This is the direct marriage for love. Clergy, all right, incidentally, perhaps, but